The Eat a Bananaists, an invented tale in which there is not a word of truth. Somebody talked me into buying stock in a certain copper company. Stock and I are not very close friends. Actually, you might even say that we're distant relatives. But as it was a matter of making a fortune, so my agent had convinced me, naturally I took my few $100 and put them into stock. Then I waited for the moment a messenger would come up to me and announce, "I have the honor of informing you, sir, that you are at long last a millionaire. Thank you." And so I waited. Waited patiently. Waited hopefully. Waited for the stock market to rise, which I expected to happen at any moment, at which point I would become one of those fat cat millionaires, if you'll pardon the expression. My stock paid a dividend of 10% and cost $500 a share. I bought 5 shares for $2,500. More I didn't have. If I did, I would have bought more. Because is there anybody who can hold me back from making millions in a fine, honest, and tidy manner, huh? But remarkably, or better said, quite naturally, as soon as I purchased my stock, it began to sink, to fall. And that's how it fell and sank from one day to the next. My stock fell so fast and so deep, you could barely make it out with the naked eye. Whether it was raining out or the sun was shining, my stock did what it did. It fell. And so I went to my broker and said, "Mister, my stock is falling. What'll be the end of all this falling?"
"The present situation is quite normal," he replied coolly, flicking the ash from his fine cigar with his little finger. "The reason is Brazil."
And he explained to me that, seeing as the Brazilian situation was now quite grim, the banana crop there was a failure, this reflected badly on the copper industry in general, and consequently on our copper shares in particular. So, in other words, I told myself, my fate is now dependent on Brazil and its bananas. Good. Then I'll keep my eye on Brazil and see what I can do to improve the state of its bananas. So I thought. But the stock continued to do what it did. It fell with astonishing rapidity. First 5%, then 6, then 7, and so on, till finally it was worth 35% less than what I'd bought it at. I began to keep the company of pushcart peddlers. I would ask them if they were buying bananas, and if so, how many, and if they were buying the Brazilian fellows with the spotted bellies like lizards. The peddlers regarded me sympathetically. The majority answered that their business was going to hell in a handbasket, and as for Brazil and its bananas, Brazil could go up like a light as far as they were concerned. "Why?" "Just like that. No particular reason." When I heard that, I ran straight to my broker and said to him, "Brazil can go up like a light as far as I'm concerned. Sell my stock and let that be the end of it." But he said,
"You know what I'll tell you? Now's the perfect time to buy new stock. Do what I say and buy 3-4 more shares and you'll be a rich man."
"What? What's the sense in that?"
"The sense is," he goes, "that with bananas, the crop is either good or it isn't. If the crop is poor, then we have bad bananas and the stock falls. If the crop is good, then..."
"Then it falls anyway," I help him out.
"Joking aside," he goes, "throw in a few more thousand. What have you got to lose?"
I called him a certain name and left. My stock, meanwhile, did what it did. It fell. In the space of a few months, its value had dropped to 50% of what I'd bought it at, and I began to take a strong interest in Brazil and its bananas. Hell, what kind of a two-bit state was this Brazil anyway, and why was it always in such a mess? So I thought. But I didn't just think about it. I decided that I had to do something directly to help improve the situation of my Brazilian brothers, and through them, to improve the disastrous condition of my stock, which had dropped to new lows. To that end, I organized a society called the Bananaphiles, the goal of which was for each member to eat as many bananas as possible, and if possible, a few more. A noble goal. In the course of a few weeks, the Bananaphiles met several times in a cellar basement where bananas were cultivated, where they were ripened, in other words. There, the first thing we did was stuff ourselves with the plump fruit. Then, when we began feeling rather green around the gills, we started to agitate for the establishment of a national movement in support of bananaphilism. Needless to say, and perhaps it isn't needless to say, most of the members held shares in the same stock I did. Another month went by. Our banana files, meanwhile, raised a storm in the press. Why weren't people eating bananas? And why weren't sick people given bananas to eat instead of eggs or other things? The movement, seized upon by the press, began to take on tremendous dimensions, as they say in German. "Eat a banana" became a catchword, a buzzword, a byword of recognition among Lodge brothers. The Eat a Banana movement spread like wildfire. It engulfed the entire nation. In all the vaudeville houses, they sang, "Eat a Banana." It played on phonographs across the nation, and famous dancers like the Duncan danced it in bare feet in several acts. The greatest men in the land became Eat a Bananaists or bananaphiles. The finest ladies in the land didn't leave their homes without a basketful of bananas on their arm. In short, our small movement bore great fruit. Trade in bananas increased tremendously. Bananas became respectable. But it didn't have the least effect on our stock, which did what it did. It fell. So again, I ran off to my broker and complained. "What's going on here? My stock is falling. What's going to be the end of all this falling? For God's sake, I'm growing broke, I am." And I started banging on the table with my fist, like this.
"Shush," he goes. "Why are you yelling like that? Thank God Brazil is all right."
"The hell with Brazil," says I. "What good's Brazil to me if I'm going broke? And besides," says I, "didn't you say that the whole reason my copper shares are in such bad shape is that the Brazilian bananas aren't selling here? So what do you say now?" "Now," says I, "that the whole country is caught up in the Eat a Banana movement? Huh? How are you going to explain now," says I, "why my copper shares keep on falling and falling?"
"Well," says he, "that is a difficult thing to explain. But if I did what he said," says he, "I'd put another few thousand into stock. Just like that, on spec." "Because," says he, "just as soon as the shares stop falling, it's almost a sure thing that they'll either stay where they are or they'll shoot up in value. In which case," says he, "you'll be making yourself money like dirt."
In the end, I was barely able to unload my shares at a 60% net loss, not counting the hassle and the heartache. And all that remained of my stock was a ruined digestive tract from eating too many of those damned bananas.